One of the easiest ways to identify a true follower of Jesus Christ is how compassionately that person treats other people. The Savior's message is clear. His true disciples build, lift, encourage, persuade, and inspire. No matter how difficult the situation, true disciples of Jesus Christ are peacemakers.
Hello, this is Raquel Busio from the University of Utah Institute of Religion. This is the podcast series entitled Peacemakers Needed. During this episode, we will be graced with the wonderful presence of Brother McDonald. He's an institute teacher here at the University of Utah and has had many opportunities to be a part of the church education system as a music coordinator and is also on the church music committee. He's involved with basically all the music that happens here in Utah, in the church, and elsewhere around the world. He's been married for 20 years to an amazing woman and has 6 kids. They live only about a mile away, so this is definitely his home stomping grounds. Brother McDonald recently received the Governor's Medal of the Arts for the state of Utah, a huge accomplishment, basically meaning that he was Musician of the Year. He uses music to help his students and his kids become who they want to become. And I am so grateful to be here with you, Brother McDonald.
Thank you, Raquel. It's an honor. I think my greatest accomplishment is just passing math 1050 here when I was a student at the University of Utah. So
I mean, that is a hard feat.
Tears in my eyes when I passed it. And so, but it's an honor to be with you. I sure love you and have loved teaching you over the years and just excited to have a little chat about peacemakers and music and how those things can come together.
Surrounding our thoughts around President Nielsen's most recent talk, Peacemakers Needed. Music, I feel, has a huge part in how we feel and in what we can do with the world. So I want to start off with, how does music bring peace?
Yeah, I think that's a really great beginning question. And it's interesting because you can look at national studies. You can also look at quotes from prophets, seers, and revelators. And music just influences behavior. Yeah. And I love this quote from President Benson, actually, that I think sums some things up really well. President Benson said, "Music creates atmosphere. Atmosphere creates environment. And environment influences behavior." And So how we're feeling, how we're acting, and who we're becoming, it all begins with some sort of a catalyst. And so music absolutely can be that catalyst and that spark. And so national surveyors will look at, you know, whether it's music that's explicit or having sexual nature, and they'll do studies and see that teens or young adults are more likely to get into certain behavior based on what they're listening, or twice as likely to not if they're not listening to it. And so whether we look at national studies or we look at prophets, seers, and revelators, or we look at our own just daily experiences, really music can be this catalyst and this force to create the atmosphere in our surroundings that really influences our entire environment, and that environment is going to influence our actions and our behavior and who we become. And so I just like to think of music as just that beginning thing that influences what we think, what we feel, and ultimately what we do. And that will lead either to peace or to conflict inside of 100%. Us, right? Either way. And so I just love to think about music planting those seeds every day in our life, as well as in this larger scope of really who we're becoming.
Yeah, I love it influences what we think, what we feel, and then eventually how we act. And I love how you brought up the point that it's not just secular church music that we're talking about today. It's any type of music, whether it brings good messages or messages of explicitness or inappropriateness, those affect us, whether we think they do or not.
Yeah, and I have those conversations with my teenagers all the time.
Yeah,
right now,
totally.
Right? And they don't think it does, and it's not even the lyrics too, it's just the feel of music. And,
yeah.
But I think you said something really profound there. It's not necessarily church music, it's just music as a whole. Like President Nelson's message really was, there's too much divisiveness in the world, and we're too easy to just disagree, and it leads to anger and hate, and contention is the word that he brings up a lot. And I think all music, all good music, all types of music is the opposite of contention. Music is harmony. It's taking a variety of different notes that might not work well together and that are different notes. A B and a C are quite different than each other, but it's figuring out how to use those notes in harmony with each other. So it's taking differences, embracing them together, and unifying them as one. And so music, in many ways, brings peace because it's harmony. It's different notes forming beautiful chords that can help us feel pumped up when we're working out, or they can help us to just find peace in other places.
Yeah.
But the very nature of music is bringing differences together as one and establishing harmony together. And we are physiologically impacted by listening to music because it's differences that unite together.
Oh my goodness, so many amazing things I want to talk about. First off, let's talk about differences that work together.
You bet.
I love that thought. I feel like so many times we are pitted against each other, whether it's through media or through own thoughts or cultures. And it's so amazing to think that music would be absolutely awful and boring if we only had middle C. Like, if everybody... I wouldn't listen at all. But the differences and the different combinations, utilizing the strength of each note, creates this beautiful harmony. And I think that's something that we can also bring into relationships that we have with people.
I love
Just because you're different than somebody else doesn't mean that you have to be pitted against each other, or you can't work together for a better cause or a common harmony.
Yeah.
It's, I think, you know, part of President Nelson's talk is avoiding contention means loving one another as well.
So
it means
true.
Having charity. And just like notes work together, we can work together to create charity, to create love and help others.
Yeah. In fact, if you can visually picture in your minds as you're listening to this podcast, if you know music, you can picture it. If you don't, maybe you can imagine a snowman, right? That's got sort of these circles on top. But music is based on chords, right? And so if you imagine notes that are stacked upon each other and what direction they are, those notes are vertical. So like a snowman are three different circles that are built upon each other, though they're all different, but yet they're united and the direction is vertical. And so music is unity, and unity is a very vertical principle. So if we're vertical, it means that we're all a little bit different, but that we're trying to reach up to God and to the Savior. And so I like to think of unity as not sameness. The unity embraces diversity and differences, difference of opinions. The adversary is the father of contention in our polarization of society. And whether it's politics or social issues and some things, our society just tells us that our differences make us different and ununited. But I don't think music message that way. Music's message is reach up vertically. Let's take some different notes. But ultimately, it's that reach up to Christ that's going to create unity, and it's going to create peace. And so let's not be afraid to look at some differences of the people of different walks of life and experiences, but build on that common ground and reach for higher things. And the very nature upon which music is written invites us to look up and to look vertically, as opposed to sort of look at our differences horizontally and divide ourselves.
Yeah, I love that. I think that's one of the main reasons why we use music in the church, is because it helps us, it unifies us.
Certainly.
But then it also helps us reach towards Christ.
Yes.
I know that you have had so much work in the church with music. Why does the church have music?
That's a really, really important question. And let me just start from the beginning, and then maybe we can go to some things that are coming up in the future and some of the blessings of music in the church. When I think of July of 1830, that's when the Lord revealed to Emma Smith, through the prophet Joseph Smith, to make a collection of sacred hymns. And when I think of July of 1830, I think, wow, that is so early in church history.
It is.
I mean,
it
the
is.
Church was organized in April of 1830, and we don't have really even the fullness of priesthood structure and organization and temple work, and the restoration was just at the beginning.
Uh-huh.
But the Lord, knowing that this little church needed the blessings of music, of course, says famously, "My soul delighteth in the song of the heart. Yea, the song of the righteous is a prayer unto thee." And then, like you just asked, it shall be answered with a blessing upon their heads.
Yes.
And, you know, if we had all of the podcast listeners take 30 seconds and say, what blessing has music brought in your life? We'd have no time for anything else in discussion, because we can talk about all the fruits of the Spirit that music brings. But I love, at the end of that section in verse 16, the Lord said, "My voice is unto all."
Yep.
So the Lord concludes this section inviting Emma to come to know who she is and then to make the selection of hymns. But then the Lord makes the point and says, my voice is unto all. Elder McConkie says that it's part of the language of the gods. And so I think that music is this vessel that communicates the Holy Ghost.
Yes,
it communicates the voice of God to us so that we can feel God's voice. It's a voice that's felt, but we can feel his voice communicating to us and revealing to us his will in our life. And music really has so many blessings, but one of the great blessings is that we can feel the Lord speaking through us and revealing things to us through that vehicle or message of music. I think the Holy Ghost is a master musician.
I think the Holy Ghost knows how to use music in
a way to help us come to know God's voice in our life. And I think in the early stages of the church, the Lord knew that and wanted hymns and other sacred music to be a part of it so that the church could begin to receive all the comfort, peace, and blessings that music would provide.
Yeah. I love that. And I just want to add a personal experience I've had actually with music in the church. So this is actually my mom's favorite verse, Doctrine and Covenants 25:12.
Yep.
My mother is a beautiful singer. My father is not. He will be the first one to admit that he cannot sing. And I remember one time sitting in church in between my mom and my dad was singing really loud. He was singing the hymns, he's singing really loud, and I turn over to my mom and I go, Dad knows he can't sing, so why is he singing? And she gave me a strong reprimand and said, this is not about how well you sing, it's about singing to God.
Yeah.
She brought out this verse and taught me a lesson while we were sitting, and she pointed out that it's a song of the heart. A song of the righteous. Yes. Song of the righteous doesn't mean it has to be a hymn.
Right.
Song of the righteous doesn't mean the song of the perfect singer or the, you know, professional singer or the one who's studied. It just means the song of someone who loves God.
Yes.
And loves Christ. And that can be in so many different forms.
Yep.
I learned that day just how important music is to God, since the Holy Ghost just communicate with us through music. But then we give our love back by singing and listening and gaining good music back in our lives by basically accepting the gift that he's given us.
And isn't that great that he hears those songs? And there's a line in a famous hymn that says that even hears the songs we cannot sing.
Yep.
In the hymn, there is sunshine in my soul. And so he's not listening to your pitch. He's not listening to your vowels and your consonants. It's the song of the righteous is the prayer to him. And I have a little bit of understanding with that too, meaning that I have a form of perfect pitch. And so I'm a pretty good musician, and I can hear what key something's in on the radio or know if someone's singing on key. But when I'm in sacrament meeting, Raquel, if I were to sit next to your dad, or if I was sitting next to someone that's singing off key, I'm not bothered the least bit by someone that's a little bit out of tune, because I'm really hearing what's in their heart. And in some levels, I would just testify of what you said is true, that God doesn't expect us to be perfect. As someone that has perfect pitch, I don't care if someone's not perfect. I don't care if they're out of tune, because I just hear and see beyond that.
Yeah.
I see what they're trying to express. And when we're all making efforts in sacrament meeting to express that, then all of a sudden music becomes this uniter where we might be singing, you know, a song, and we're all singing it a little bit differently, but we're all one in Christ, and music becomes that opportunity for us to be one. And that's why we're going to sing more than we do other things in sacrament services.
Exactly.
Right? Because it's a great way to unite and for us to all feel peace.
Yeah, I love that. And I love how the church is continually trying to make efforts to include music in things. I mean,
and as you say that,
it's so amazing. Yeah.
Can I testify of that? Because I've been involved with church music a lot.
Yeah.
And I can tell you that President Nelson knows this to be true, that we actually have seen since 2018 more musical numbers, more requests in general conference, that music is used more than it has been before. Really, and I directed music for general conference the first day that President Nelson was sustained.
Incredible.
And a week before general conference, I got a call from church music from the first presidency saying, we actually want to add another number to that session. So can we have more music on the first session? And I had to arrange something a week before general conference so that we could sing it and perform it.
Yeah.
And the brethren are not afraid to make those requests. In fact, just another fun little story about President Nelson and how much, like you said, music is
totally
a part of the church. In 2017, in December, just before President Monson passed away, mm-hmm. President Nelson asked if I'd come down to the church administration building and do a musical concert for the Quorum of the Twelve. So wow. He was president of the Quorum of the Twelve. And so I prepared something, brought Lexi Walker and a couple other musicians with us. And we did this wonderful concert. And then afterwards, the brethren left. And I was just with President Nelson and a couple of musicians. And he said, thank you so much. I tried to think of the best gift that I could give the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles. And the best gift that I could give them was the gift of music. Wow. And so thank you for being my Christmas present to the Quorum of the Twelve. And then he said, normally on Thursday mornings, we meet and we discuss the world's most complicated issues, poverty,
yeah.
global warming, and just all the things that we deal with. And he just said, I just wanted, and it gets me a little emotional to think about, but I just wanted the brethren to have a moment where they could not worry and take the weight off their shoulders of what they feel as prophets, seers, and revelators. And I couldn't think of anything better than just to give them music.
That's
and
incredible.
To take away their weight and the heavy things that they deal with.
Yeah, I love that. I think that is so applicable to young adults or adults or kids or teens nowadays. If you are feeling stressed,
yes.
overwhelmed, I mean, these are the world's greatest issues, but you have your life's greatest issues.
Yeah.
Whatever they may be, music can be a path to find that peace and comfort and just to just relax
mm-hmm.
for a moment
mm-hmm.
and just almost become refreshed.
I hope you have a variety of different playlists, you know, on your methods. And sometimes it's the playlist for peace, and sometimes it's the playlist for the Sabbath, and sometimes it's the playlist because I just broke up with a relationship. I need a little Carrie Underwood to sing to me, or T Swift or whatever. But we just need to have those moments where we just turn to music and the good things and let it heal us and heal our heart and help us express what we can't express right now and deal with some of the stress and the sorrows and just use this amazing gift that music is in all its forms.
100%. I love that sentiment. As we think about music, how it has been in the church, how it has strengthened us in the church. As we look at church and music from a past, what it's meant in the present, what are we looking for in the future of church and music?
That's a really good question because it's an exciting time in the future of church music. In fact, you're going to see the church music app. It's already had some recent changes.
Yep.
And it's going to have many of them. We're pretty close to releasing some new hymns that are going to be part of the core collection of hymns on
that's
that
amazing.
Church music app at some point, as soon as it's approved by the brethren. But we've seen in the last 5 years, close to 18,000 submissions of new hymns and primary children's songs. And about every week I go through 100 of those and provide evaluations and things. But and it's so sacred for me to look at the writing of church musicians that have written some things and have their little offering, and I'll see all the good in it, and we'll pass that on to the church music committee. But we're going to see a lot of opportunities. We see a lot of new youth music that's written, and really the FSY things. And I wrote a song this last summer for the FSY music program. But I think what we're seeing is just the ability for not only youth, young adults, and adults, but to share music, and then for the church music department to make that available on the church music app in a variety of ways, I think is just incredible. We have a database now just downtown where anyone can go to the church music and they can fill out their interests, their abilities, their talents and abilities. And even just this last week, we had an email sent out that we want some musicians to help record some of the new hymns. And, you know, if you indicate on the survey that you sing, please send us some information about yourself and your part and what you sing, and let's get some more people singing. And we even just put together a multicultural choir and a young adult choir, all based on this database of people that have filled it out. And so there's so many exciting things happening right now with church music. And I think it's just the tip of the iceberg on using technology to have new songs and new things that are out there that can get into the hands right at the fingertips of their phones of what's right in the gospel library and the church music app.
In past years, it's been difficult if you lived far away to have any connection to music in the church because it was centralized in Utah. But now the ability to submit things online, to have that music just come right back, even to just share your talents and amazing creativity is incredible. And it really is another testament that this is a worldwide church where we care
That's
about
right.
every single person.
And that new, the new hymn book that'll eventually be published will be a global hymn book where it'll be united worldwide, and it'll be the same. And as someone that looks at new music, it's so touching for me, Raquel, to see sometimes a piece of music that might not be ready to be for the hymn book, but I see the good. I see the offering. I can just imagine a sister, whether it's West Virginia or North Dakota, that's submitted something and maybe hopes that gets in the hymn book. And if it doesn't, I still see it. And through the Lord's eyes, I've recognized their offering. And it's we'll incredible. Send on the good, and I'll still say, hey, maybe this isn't ready, but look at the good that happened in this hymn. We need to make sure that that good is reflected somewhere in the hymn book, and someone that's made that contribution, even though their song might not be in the next primary children's book, their contribution was one part of the whole.
Oh, 100%.
And they might not know it, but I hope that they do someday that what they did, what they offered was accepted and helped contribute to the future of everything that's going to happen with church music.
Yeah, it's incredible. I am so excited for the new hymn book to have one hymn book for everyone.
That's right.
I served my mission in Brazil, and I was kind of surprised when I got there that their hymn book was so much smaller than the English hymn book. And some of my favorite hymns I couldn't find readily, or I was like, where is this one? I don't know if you have it. And it's going to be so nice to share things across languages.
That's right.
To share the music is the same, the message is the same, and now we can all sing it together.
As a new missionary in Argentina, I didn't know yet that Called to Serve had four verses in Spanish.
Yes.
And I was playing that hymn for President Hinckley and 600 missionaries, and I stopped after verse two.
Yep.
The conductor brought everyone in for a third verse, and there was Spanish chaos for a couple seconds. And then I just quickly with the piano went, da-da-da-da-da, bum-bum, went on with it. And President Hinckley looked up, and it was me at the pianist, and like looked confused, and my eyes caught his eyes. It was like the worst mistake I've ever made. Like, and like the prophet heard it and looked confused. And you're right. We need a global hymn book.
We need a global hymn book.
So that musicians like me don't blow it when we're in foreign countries, you know, playing music. So.
Oh, I love it. I love it. And what instances do we have to show us that he cares about music?
We have what are called five sacred objectives of church music.
Yeah.
And I think that relates to your answer about why God cares so much about music. Mm-hmm. Can I just share these objectives?
Please do.
They're not secret. They have been printed once in an article online, and they've been shared, but it is something that we use as we look at music.
Yeah,
number
please.
One, it's to increase faith in and worship our Heavenly Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. That's an objective of music.
I
number
love that.
Two, to teach the core doctrine of the gospel with power and clarity.
Ooh.
Number three, to invite joyful singing at home or at church. Number four, to comfort the weary and inspire members to endure in faith. And then number five, to unify members throughout the church. As we're looking at music and thinking about the future and why God cares so much about it, I really think that music is an underutilized tool in helping us come unto Christ, in teaching the gospel, and receiving the help that we need in all situations of life. And so I think God knows that really it can bring more joy into our life, that it can better teach the gospel with power and clarity because it's the universal language.
Yeah.
When we are translating general conference talks and doing other things, we translate other languages, but we don't translate music because it's a universal language and it has the ability to communicate. Whether or not you understand the language or not, it communicates the Holy Ghost and the Spirit, and you don't need a translator. And so I think the Lord knows that ultimately we're preparing the earth for the gathering of the Savior to return. And what gathers people? Music does. Look at Taylor Swift right now on her tour, and look at the people in the images, right? What gathers? And so music has a role to play in the gathering of Israel. And I don't have a perfect vision of what that looks like, but we do know that as we use music in the way the Lord wants us to, as we use music in ways when we need it, that it will provide all the blessings, but also an opportunity for people to gather together and come together and ultimately to be ready for when the Savior comes again.
I absolutely love that sentiment.
Let me just share. This is a very obscure Old Testament story that talks about the blessings of music that can maybe hint to the future. This is in 2 Chronicles 20.
Okay.
So I'm just going to read a couple verses. There's a war with the Ammonites in Israel. This is Jehoshaphat, a righteous king. of Judah, and the Ammonites are coming, and Jehoshaphat offers this amazing prayer in 2 Chronicles 20, verse 12 and 13, and I won't read the prayer, but they gather together as families, and then Jehoshaphat continues to pray, and they try to come up with an idea of what to do to win this war. And let me just read verse 21 and 22, and tell me if you think this is a good idea for war. But it says, it says, Jehoshaphat, when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, that they should praise the beauty of holiness. And then listen to this next line. And they went out before the army. So I want everyone to picture that's listening to this podcast.
It's crazy.
Is this a good strategy? Picture the last choir that you remember seeing. And do you think it's a good idea that, okay, let's take that choir and let's put them out before the army and put them on the front lines and see how well our choir singers are going to do against the Ammonite army that's coming to destroy, you know, Judah. So that was the idea.
It's terrifying.
I know. Let's put our singers on the front lines.
That's so scary.
That's pretty scary to think about. But look what happens. As they went out before the army to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And look at what happened, verse 22. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord sent ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, and were come against Judah, and they were smitten. Now, we don't have a complete picture of what exactly happened. Maybe this is a walls of Jericho where you play music, you play the trumpets,
and something things work out.
And things work out and good. But I think that there's a doctrine and a principle here, Raquel, about the last days, about the wars that we battle, about the challenges that young adults face. That when you face those challenges and you're battling, if you'll allow music to help you praise the Lord, to see what he's done for you in your life, to see his mercy and his hand in your life, if you'll be able to do that as these singers did, the Lord will step in and fight your battles for you. If you can find gratitude and praise and happiness in your heart and let music do that, then the Lord in his own way will set ambushments, as it says in verse 22. He'll step in and fight your battles. They that be with you are more than they be against you, so to speak. And it's somehow this music is the catalyst for a miracle to happen. Music was the catalyst for peace to happen in Judah at a time when it seemed like all was lost. And rather than turning to swords, rather than turning to spears, they turned to the Lord and allowed music to bring peace to their hearts. And then the Moabites and the Ammonites warred against themselves. And really the battle just kind of took care of itself. And so if we'll allow all the blessings of music to help us ultimately to praise God, that's the key. It's to see the hand of the Lord in your life and to praise him, to invite God into your life. Music helps us invite him more into our life. And we'll allow that to happen. I testify and bear witness that we'll find the battles and the struggles take care of themselves as the Lord assists us and steps in our lives.
My dear brothers and sisters, how we treat each other really matters. How we speak to and about others at home, at church, at work, and online really matters. Today I'm asking us to interact with others in a higher, holier way.
This podcast series has been produced by students at the Institute at the University of Utah.
If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with a friend.
To direct others to this podcast, to listen to other episodes in this series, or to enroll in the Institute class associated with these podcasts, see our website at overcometheworld.podbeam.com.
This recording is not an official publication of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. The views expressed are those of the participants and are neither the official doctrine nor the official teachings of the church.